a little different for me coming up here at this time. During the opening prayer, I was kind of expecting to just start walking up here, and I wonder what Eric would have done had I done that. It is also a privilege to be able to speak to you from God's Word today. And I want to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts as we continue our study on the early church. The book of Acts, chapter 2, we'll be reading verses 42 through 47. It's page number 911 in the Pew Bibles in front of you. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, and this is God's word. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, we come humbly before you now. We come humbly knowing that we need you. We need you to fully understand what your word is. We need you in our hearts and in our lives. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the shed blood of your Son. And we pray now as we study the early church that we would find the different ways that you would have us to serve, that you would have us to be a community, and Lord, the different ways that we would bring honor and glory to you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled my message today, The Awe of Devotion. And to better understand the word awe, I wanted to kind of go through a couple of different definitions of what we look at that word as meaning. It may be, especially for up here, from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, the awe of watching people play in a fashion that we could never hope to emulate. They play and they throw that game-winning touchdown, and you think, how did they ever do that? We might see it as an awe of a last-second shot in basketball. I remember North Central, up the road a little ways, won their third state championship for high school basketball last year. And I was listening to the semifinal game, and they were down by 1 point. And I was listening to it. I wasn't there. But the pass went to an unsuspecting guy that really was a good player, but he wasn't one of the star players. It came into his hands, he kind of fumbled it a little bit, and he threw it up, and he made the shot, and they won the game, and they went on to win the state championship. So we might be in awe of that position, that you can actually function and do something in a case like that. Another one, we just went through the Olympics, but this was the Winter Olympics. I want to refer to you to the Summer Olympics. Have you ever thought about those that are especially in gymnastics? The one that really gets me is the balance beam. It's hard enough to walk down a board that's standing on the ground. You ever try that? Just try to walk on it and you get that balance? Well, here we have athletes that are up in the air a ways, and they're doing it on 1 foot. They're dipping down. They're doing all kinds of crazy things. And we're watching, and you're hoping, okay, there's no mistakes. They're doing everything good. But we're waiting for one thing at the very end. What are we waiting for? We're stick the landing. Can they dismount and stick that landing? Will they land and not take a step back? And we're just almost cheering for them when they actually do it, and they get their feet under them, and they'll raise their hands in triumph. And we are in awe of athletes. That is a type of awe, but the awe that I want to talk to you about today is the awe that you get when you're standing, say, in a field, and a storm comes up. I'm sure you've all been there. A storm comes up, the storm clouds are rolling in, and the wind starts picking up, and the clouds are almost ominous. And you're thinking, what is coming? Is this a tornado? What is coming? It is so powerful looking. And there's almost a fear. The awe that we're talking about here today is the fear of God, the awe of God. When we see something that is more powerful than we are and recognize that we are completely at the mercy of that power. And that higher power is God in our lives. Today I want you to appreciate the awe of devotion. In our passage today, we will read, or we have read, about the devotion that the early church was experiencing. Today's passage begins with the sentence, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching." Now, as elder board, we're going through different things that help us to exegete. Boy, I had to learn what that word meant when I first got into this. You had to learn how to exegete. And then you had to learn how to do all these other words that I had never heard of. But basically, is to understand, you have to look around and dig deep into the meaning of the words, looking before, looking after, seeing the whole context of it. So who are they that were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching? Well, if you look back on the previous verse, you'll see in Acts 2, verse 41, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. They was the 3,000 souls that were saved under Peter's first sermon. It was, as Tim mentioned, it was many weeks ago. I was actually scheduled to speak the day of a big snowstorm that we had. It was a Saturday, and we're all thinking that, okay, the storm is coming. Everyone, all the others that had been gone, one of the reasons I was scheduled is a lot of the elders had been down at Together for the Gospel, and they were coming home after hearing John Piper and Ligon Duncan and John MacArthur, Matt Chandler, and I'm thinking, all these great names that they are just hearing, so all these people are coming back, and then they're going to come back, and they're going to hear Robin Newland speak. But it's the power, it is the power of God speaking through any speaker. That is what's the important part. So I was on that Saturday, I was thinking, okay, I'm finishing studying, but we're going to be canceling. And then Pastor Dave had texted out to everyone saying, what do you think? You know, there's a storm coming. Is it going to be as bad as they say? And we weren't sure. And I thought, I'm not going to jump in on that text because they're going to think I'm trying to bail. And so I kind of sat back until I think it was Kevin that said, yeah, I think this is real. It's going to really hit. And we don't want to put the safety of our parishioners at risk. So, yeah, I think we should cancel. And so then I did say, yeah, I agree. Well, right away, he wants some more time. You know, the more time gives you, more time of reflection, more time to delve into God's word. What a great opportunity that is. So we're looking at the they, and I really thought about that a lot. The Pastor Dave had preached on Peter's first sermon, and there isn't a preacher out there that won't want God to use their words and to reach 3,000 converts. There isn't a preacher out there that wants it, not for their numbers, but to the glory of God. But when you look at God's word and the what he was teaching here, he was establishing the local church. Can you imagine what it would have been like when this was just a couple weeks removed from the crucifixion and the resurrection, and Peter preaches and these souls are saved? Now what? Now what do they do? Where do they go? What do they do with this newfound indwelling of the Holy Spirit? How would they worship now? The verses in our text today are rather exciting and challenging at the same time. We are given a guide for how new believers are to not just worship, but how they are to live their lives, how we are to live our lives. Notice that there's no hesitation on action. We don't go from verse 41 stating that they received the word and were baptized to a time of waiting and being a spectator in Christian life. Christianity is in no way a spectator sport. We are called to action, and today's verses tell us that. R. Kent Hughes said in his book, The Acts, The Church of Fire, that the word devote here denotes a steadfast and single-minded devotion to a certain course of action. Denotes a steadfast and single-minded devotion to a certain course of action. Verse 42 tells us four ways these new converts were devoting their time. Number one, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Verse 42 says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And what does that mean? Remember that at that day of Pentecost, the remainder of the Bible was not yet written. God did not yet save Paul. Paul, or Saul as he was known then, was still on the path to hold the coats of the people who stoned Stephen. Saul was still to torment perhaps some of these very converts and to fight against the very God who would save him. These new converts now were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, the same teaching that Christ was teaching the disciples. Starting with the scriptures, the Old Testament. These teachings were the power of God to salvation. Today, we have the whole scripture. We have all the epistles. We have Revelation. We can look at the end of the book and we see that God has won. We see that we have our victory through Jesus Christ. And this was the beginning of the church. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The outpouring of this devotion leads us to the next devotion that follows, both in our text and in Colossians. They were studying the scriptures, trying to find out everything they could. Do we have that desire to be devoted to the apostles' teaching? Do we have that desire to be devoted to the word of God, to study it, to know it more? We have a Savior who was put on a cross. We sang songs about it today, that he was put on a cross and he died for the same ones that put him up there. Do we have a devotion to learn more about him through his word? As we look in Colossians, it says teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. That's what we're to do with each other. Number two, they were devoted to fellowship. This fellowship was not just that sit around and talk about the things of daily life, which are good. We can talk about the football game or the basketball game. We can talk about our work. We can talk about the things that are our daily lives. But the encouragement here is to talk about, to fellowship with, as Colossians says, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, the wisdom that we learn from God's word, to fellowship. Remember, what we're reading here in Acts is the beginning of the local church. Looking back at verse 41, So those who received the word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. Imagine this number of converts come together. Imagine if at this church, God so ordained it that we just had the seams busted off, the doors, everything was opened up, and God saved souls by huge, massive numbers. Then what do you do? Then what do you do with that? And this text tells us what we do. We devote ourselves to the scriptures, to the teaching. We devote ourselves to fellowship, the fellowship that encourages one another. We have a room down the hall that we call the fellowship hall. We use that for potlucks. We use it for members' meals. We use it celebrations of a wedding. We use it for a time of grieving, as we went through a couple weeks ago with my father passing. We use it as a time of fellowship, of encouragement, to bring each other to the Word, to encourage one another through God's Word, using, as Colossians says, admonishing one another, teaching one another. We use that fellowship all as such. I think of both Adam and Kevin, who are gifted in fellowship and in encouraging people to come over to their houses and just come into our house and let's share God's word together. Let's do whatever we can. That's what we're encouraging here in these verses. They were encouraging the fellowship of the saints. And you know, this fellowship, as we look at it, wasn't just for the converts. This fellowship was also recognized by everyone. I have to keep going back and forth with my glasses here, but as we look down in one of the later verses, excuse me, we see in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. This devotion that they were experiencing, this devotion to the teaching and to the fellowship, was being found favorable by everyone. What do we as a church here today, what are we to do? Yes, we're to encourage everyone that's here, that's coming, that's members. But we're to encourage the neighborhood. We're to encourage them through the fellowship. We aren't just to be a closed-door church that says, well, if you're not part of what we have, you might want to stay out. This was the encouragement and finding favor of all, so that God's word can go forth and do what his word will do. So we have these 3,000 converts, and as we were taught in the Bible, as newborn babes desired the sincere milk of the word, they were trying to get right to the meat of it, because they were studying and they were fellowshipping and hey, did you read this? What do you think about this? Can you imagine if we did that a little bit more in our fellowship time? If we just sat and discussed what God means by this. We have a great example of that in our discipleship hour. And if you don't come for that, it's from 9:15 to 10:15. It is a time that we get to fellowship with one another. It's a time that we get to share into the teachings of the apostles, studying the word. We devote ourselves to that. And I'll touch on that again in a little bit. So we have the apostles devoted to the fellowship. They, or not the apostles, the converts, the new church, devoted to the fellowship. God wants us to be loving and caring in a missional way so that others see that love and find favor with the church. We are not, as I said, to be a closed-door church. We are to be sharing God's love and having that encouragement of others to come and learn and see what it is so God does his work. Then in verse 45, we see one that can make you scratch your head. Verse 45 says, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. First thought, you might think, ooh, that sounds a little bit different. We live in America. We get what we work for. I have my job. I get to buy my things. I get to do all this. Well, what we're being told here is don't hold on to those things to be so important to you. God gave us these things. Have an open hand, because there are others that may have needs that when you devote yourself to the teaching and the fellowship, you're devoting yourself to God and saying, God, whatever you need, just use. And that's what the new converts were doing here. They were not living a communal life that threw everything in one pot and then it handed it out. But the devotion to fellowship was so great that they didn't think twice about giving and sharing as they were needs. They saw this new life in Christ as just that, a new life. 2 Corinthians tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The things that are become new are, we recognize that everything is God's. And that's what they were learning, that through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, everything was God's. The more they studied, the more they learned, the more they realized that, the more they had the open hand to let God do what he needed to do and what he would do. And the third point is they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Now, this point is more of a continuation of the fellowship. In fact, it was more of an example of the fellowship. In our church today, we try to get together and have these kind of fellowship times of breaking of bread. We have what we're going to do after the service today. At the end of the service, we're going to share the Lord's table. This do in remembrance of me. We're going to do that together. We are going to do this because we recognize what God did for us by sending his son. And because that's what he says, that we should do this in remembrance of him. In our text today, different scholars will think differently about this. It talks about the breaking of bread, and it may have meant the breaking of bread because, remember, these were Jewish people. These were Gentiles that were saved. This is how God, how it said the veil was torn when Christ died on the cross. So now it was for the Jew and the Greek. It was for the Jew and the Gentile. It was for all, that the power of God to salvation. So perhaps they did break bread every day at everyone's house. We do it, and we recognize it here once a month. But I also believe that this text was just a physical act of eating. We need nourishment in our bodies. They were so dedicated to the study of the teachings of the apostles. They were so devoted to that. They were devoted to fellowship. They said, we're not going to stop it just because, oh, I got a roast in the oven. I'll be back after this. They said, let's just eat together. Let's just do this and continue. Can you imagine that if we came to church on a Sunday morning at, say, 8 o'clock, and by 8 p.m., we had eaten a couple meals together, we had just continued to delve into God's word? That's what they were doing. They were doing this every day, and they were saying, oh, we need some more money to run to Gary's and get some more food? Yeah, go ahead. They were being that type of a Christian. So we see their devotion, again, as one thought. Devoted to the teaching of the apostles. Devoted to the fellowship. So much that they were devoted to the breaking of bread and recognizing where that bread came from. This new life for them was not a passing fad. This new life in Christ is something that they, and that we, should be devoted to. In America, again, we are the land of plenty. We are seen around the world as a place that everyone aspires to be. And with these new believers, they recognize what we need to as Americans, that what we have is what God gives us. And God can bless us in so many ways, but do we thank him and appreciate that? I had a conversation through Facebook Messenger yesterday with Emmanuel Jonah from Liberia. He asked that I share with anyone that would listen about the women of purpose, and I know I've talked about that. Women of Purpose is a skills training that they do for the women in Liberia. And they teach the women, and it, when you say it, it almost sounds so elementary, but they teach the women how to bake. They teach them how to sew. They teach them how to do hair. They teach them a trade that they can help to support their families. They teach them how to raise enough money to feed themselves. And we are in America, and we are so self-sufficient. Again, I said we have our jobs. There's nothing wrong with God having blessed us to have things for ourselves, but remember who gives these things to us. And as Emmanuel was telling me, he said, pray for, and I would encourage you to pray for, the leaders that are teaching over there. There is no remuneration. There's no pay for the teachers that are doing this over there. They teach for about 5 months, and then they have graduation. The people that come, the ladies that come, and in one town, Seklapia, there was over 140 women that had originally signed up. They said, well, we can only handle about 110, all volunteers as the teachers. And so Emmanuel said, pray for the teachers that if God wills it, that they might be able to have some money at the end so that they recognize God's blessing. But if not, pray that their hearts will accept that they're giving to God, because this is a great service that they're doing. I look at Adam up here talking about the addition. We are doing this addition not because we want a bigger church, not because we want everyone to go by and say, ooh, look at that church, must be doing pretty good. We're doing this so we can continue this devotion of teaching. We want God to use Country Bible Church as a means and a focus on bringing glory to Him. We want others to come in and say, hey, what's going on there? What are you putting on? Yeah, come on in and see. Come on in and find favor as all of the people there in the time of the new church did. In Liberia, we see this Women of Purpose teaching. Come on in. Come on and see what God has done in the teaching of these women and be part of it. There are so many ways that we can do this in this world, and they can all be worthy. But how is God moving you? How is God moving you to have an open hand to do these things? The last devotion that they went through, they were devoted to prayer. Probably, or possibly, the most important act of devotion is in the prayers. Not because of the act of prayer, but more importantly, because of the reliance on the one who answers those prayers. I think that when you see the middle part, you can get lost in that, where they were putting all their funds together and saying, well, we'll help those who need help. And notice how it's, we will help, we will do, we'll use our money. But there was a recognition. And it's all encapsulated in that one thought, the one verse, where the devotion is talked about. To the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. It's all together. In the prayers, we see 3,000 new believers studying God's word, fellowship with other believers, and sharing their meals, their homes, their lives with others. They're also acknowledging, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that the God who saved them is the same God at work in the world around them. They would pray. We don't know specifically what for. We assume it'd be for the needs of the people in their lives, for the local community around them, for God's word to go out and be a strength. Remember, they didn't have a model of a church like we do through this lesson. They would pray for some of those same things that we would today. As I mentioned, we have a discipleship hour from 9:15 to 10:15. If you don't come, please do. This isn't a cry of we want bigger numbers. This is a cry of this is how we can show our devotion of studying the apostles' teaching, studying the Word of God. We focus on two main things during that time, the apostles' teaching and prayer. We share sometimes very difficult things to pray for. Today, we had brought up three different people that were praying for physical health and spiritual well-being. We're praying for people that we believe that they aren't saved, and we're praying that God would open their eyes, that God would save them. What a great time that we can share this with others. We all have people in our immediate circle of family or friends that don't know Christ. What a better way than to devote ourselves to the prayers, devote ourselves to praying that God would intervene and show them his love and his mercy in their lives. As we do this discipleship hour, it is so that we can focus on that. We go through the first part of it in studying the scriptures. And then it's a fellowship of, we discuss it. What does that mean? How does that affect our lives? It's a model of what we are seeing in Acts chapter 2. And what's the result of that? The result of this devotion. Verse 43, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And awe came upon every soul. The awe that I talked about, that is a fear of God. The awe of what God can do. What God can do with Country Bible Church. What God can do individually through each of our lives because of our devotion to these things that the early church was modeling for us. Are we filled with awe when we come to worship? Are we filled with awe when we sing these songs? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Do we say, this is my story, this is my song? And do we share that with others? Do we fellowship and share that? As I said, we have a building project about to begin. This project is a form of what's happening here in Acts. We're sharing our things. In a sense, we're selling our possessions. We're not buying something. We're giving to God's work because we see the needs for it is to reach others for Christ. We see that God is using this church to reach others, to teach us the devotion that these new converts felt to studying the Word is that same devotion that we want in our lives. We don't want to have a box we're checking to say, yep, I read the Bible today. True devotion is, oh, I know I got to finish work, but I just can't wait to study on that again. Study, what does this mean? And then you go to your neighbor and say, you know, I read this today. What do you think this means to you? The fellowship that goes with that. And may we do that. May we devote ourselves to this. And the purpose of this, the purpose of the church, the purpose of our addition, the purpose of our fellowship is shown in verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The Lord added to their number. It didn't say that they used their money to buy other people to come in. The Lord added to their number. Just as when Peter preached, 3,000 souls came to know Christ. The Lord adds to that number. It doesn't matter what the number of people that are in these pews. We're praying for God to increase those that are being saved. That increase might come in Thailand. It might come in Liberia. It might come in Marinette Menominee. That number is God's call. But we are called to devotion. We are called to devote our lives, to devote our time to these things. And may God continue to add to our numbers those who are being saved, not for our glory, but for the glory of God. Let's pray. God, we humbly come before you, knowing that it is your word, it is your promise that we read, and Lord, it is you that we worship. We pray that we would, as these new converts in Acts, we would have the devotion to study, to fellowship, to break bread, and Lord, that we would have the devotion to pray. Lord, I pray that you would instill in each life of every Christian here that desire to see the awe of devotion, to recognize the fear of the Lord in our lives. And Lord, that we would say, whatever you will for us, please do it. And Lord, may your church be built in your time and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.